wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
oh, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Wednesday. And it is a Wednesday that will feel like a Friday. It's a holiday Wednesday here on B&E. We're going to have a lot of fun today. 4 hours of fun and conversation to get you into the Turkey Day holiday. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and we are very thankful each and every day for you. Early birds always get the worm, and whoever joins us, whenever you join us, however you join us, whether it's on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, maybe you stream it live on the Horn app or at hornfm.com. Maybe you listen on a podcast at your leisure and you're getting a workout in later today or working during the day. We appreciate it so very much and are thankful for you each and every day here on B&E. It's going to be a fun show, a lot to do. Texas playing Iowa State in a massive game in the Big 12 coming up on Friday. Cowboys in action tomorrow, as are the Houston Texans on your Thanksgiving Day. And it's a great four-day sports weekend beginning tomorrow. I also have the college football playoffs rankings unveiled, debuted last night for the first time. Not a lot of surprises, but we'll dive in there. We've got news from baseball, news from basketball. Speaking of hoops, Longhorn hoops opening today and tonight for the Texas men and women. So we'll preview those games as well and the season. It's going to be a busy one, 4 hours beginning right now, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas. Of course, all those that fight for us each and every day, we are thankful for you and so many people out here. Thankful for my partner over here of over 20 years, Zay, producing this show.
Doing
thankful
a great job.
To you guys each and every morning that we get an opportunity to do this. And for so many people that have been careful and really have stayed strong through this pandemic, we're thankful for you too, because you do give us an opportunity. The folks over at Onion Creek, where we started out this madness over in March, thank you so very much, because we didn't know. We never knew where we were going to even start to do this show. It was like lost in space, like an episode of Where Are We, Where Are We Going? But we're so thankful for a lot of things. And once again, we are so very fortunate in this country to be 99% better than anybody and 99% more thankful and healthier than people all over this world. So just remember that. You may think you have it bad, but if you pick up the paper or if you turn on the news, there are people all over this world that struggle each and every day. And we are probably on the good side of the percentile of what those people are going through.
Not probably. No doubt.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of you that listen to this show are dealing with adversities and issues and
your
family
loss,
and jobs and finances. And we do appreciate you making us part of your day. And hopefully we can brighten your day from time to time. Appreciate you being there. It's going to be a fun show. And thanks for saying that. You're right. I mean, this began back in March, and thanks to our friends at Onion Creek for the first couple of months.
Yep.
When we were just being overly cautious. And,
thanks to this company for keeping us rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling.
Others just can't do it. It's just not possible.
That's true. I mean, the Austin Radio Network, we haven't furloughed or laid off any one person, so our board and our ownership, which is local, have done a great job of sticking and staying the course and battling through some tough times, which we all know are out there. But, we haven't missed one show. I mean, we've barreled through, which is a lot of...
There's been people that have gone out of their way to get people to go to Mexico to get sick and bring them back this way and, just try to just get after us a little bit. Well, we pushed them outside, too. We stiff-armed them, too. Heisman them away.
Well, I mean, it's been a learning process for everybody. Everybody's battling
Certainly
through.
Has.
But I will say this. I know a lot of folks who either have been furloughed or are working from home. The one thing I will say that I'm thankful for, of many, 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 many things I'm thankful for on this day before Thanksgiving, is we have had a sense of normalcy. You and I get to get up every day, whether
That's
we're
right.
at Onion Creek or we've come here. We've done the show every day.
That's true.
Even through the barren days of the summer when there were no sports being played whatsoever.
Korean baseball.
Yeah, we're watching...
NC Dino Championship.
NC Dino's baseball.
Yeah, they are the champs.
And talking about it, and you folks stuck with us as well. But we've gotten to get up. I know a lot of folks... have had their normalcy completely altered. Kids are working from schooling from home and all that's gone on in this crazy 2020.
Absolutely.
Still so much to be thankful for. And
so many lives that have been lost through this, too. Don't
over 250,000
people
lives.
That have that have lost their lives during this stuff, too. So
in this country and around the globe, no question. So going to be a fun show. A lot to dive into. We'll certainly preview Texas and Iowa State. It'll be senior day for Texas on Friday, so we'll talk about the legacy of Sam Ellinger. We've also got the Cowboys on the menu tomorrow. We'll preview their game with the Washington football team, which you think is going to be a thumping. You still on that?
I'm still on that. 10 or more by the Dallas Cowboys. They will ride the wave here.
Nice.
So there'll be a game that they'll get to.
There was an incident yesterday, which we'll get into here in our headlines. But
yeah.
We'll talk about that, how that could impact the Cowboys tomorrow, if at all. But appreciate everyone being here. Let's start with our headlines. Zay, let's fire it up. Get people caught up on the news of the morning as they get up and out. And if you're traveling, headed to family and you know, making your way, listen on the podcast, whoever you're finding us. Certainly appreciate you being there. Let's get you the news. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK bringing you that news. The college football playoff rankings debuted last night. The official committee rankings have about 6 weeks out to the announcement of, actually inside a month of out of when the Final Four will be announced. Number one team, Alabama. No surprise, the 7-0 Crimson Tide have unanimous number one in this week's AP poll. They are the number one team in the college football playoff rankings, followed by Notre Dame. Also 8-0, have that big win over Clemson on their resume. They are just ahead of Clemson, who comes in at number three at 7-1. They're only lost to number two, Notre Dame. Ohio State comes in at number four. They've only played four games this year. They are 4-0 and have looked pretty impressive in those four wins. They come in at four. Texas A&M, Aggies, at five, just outside the Final Four. Florida, Cincinnati, and Northwestern in the top eight. Oh, Northwestern, of course, the undefeated team in the Big Ten. Longhorns ranked 17 in the debut rankings that were announced last night. They'll host the 13th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones on Friday at DKR in a huge game for both sides. Winner, a heavy favorite to move on and play in the Big 12 championship game. Loser, essentially out and with a loss on Friday. Texas will recognize 16 seniors on Friday who will be playing their final home game for the Longhorns. Four starters on offense, including the starting quarterback Sam Ellinger, who will leave the program as one of its greatest all-time players at that position. Offensive lineman Denzel Okafor and Derek Kerstad are also our seniors. Tight end Cade Brewer will be honored on Friday. On defense, safety Chris Brown, defensive lineman Taquan Graham and Jacoby Jones, as well as linebacker Court Jacquis to be honored on Friday among the 16 players. A statue honoring Julius Whittier, Texas's first black football letterman, will also officially be unveiled on Friday before that game. It's either been erected in the north end zone and will debut on Friday. That game kicks at 11 a.m. Our Longhorn Game Day pregame goes live at 7 o'clock here on the Horn on Friday morning. Tomorrow on the Horn, it's the Dallas Cowboys looking to build on their win at Minnesota this past Sunday. They'll host their rivals from Washington in their traditional mid-afternoon Thanksgiving time slot. Game kicks at 3 o'clock. You'll hear it live here on the Horn. It was a scary and emotional day for the Cowboys yesterday. The team's strength and conditioning coach, Miles Paul, suffered what the team described as a serious medical emergency that required immediate attention and an ambulance, of course, rushed to the hospital. Cowboys then canceled their scheduled practice for the day. Paul joined the Cowboys as strength and conditioning coach back in 2018 under Jason Garrett. He was retained by Mike McCarthy this season. Also tomorrow, Houston Texans will be in Detroit to face the Lions in the early game on Turkey Day, just before noon. Primetime game features the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers at 10-0, hosting the Baltimore Ravens, who are dealing with a serious COVID outbreak at this point. As many as 10 players, coaches, and staff for the Ravens have tested positive so far this week, yet the NFL says the game is still scheduled to be played. Also, Texas men and women's basketball begin their 2020-2021 seasons today and tonight. Texas women will host SMU at the Irwin Center at 1 o'clock today. You hear that game over on 105.3. The Bat, Vic Schaefer, making his debut as the head coach of the Longhorns. UT men, with Shaka Smart, ranked in the top 20 to start the 2020 season, will take on UT Rio Grande coming up tonight at the Irwin Center. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame, right here on the Horn.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing.
There we go. Busy thing. Hmm. The college football playoff rankings are out, which we'll get to. We got hoops tonight, which will be fun. Texas basketball with a lot of expectations and a very difficult Big 12. Obviously, that story will evolve as the year goes on, and they're going to try to, you know, college football dealing with the pandemic, and so will college basketball now amid what's going on. They're going to open the season for Shaka Smart and the Longhorns tonight.
Yeah, this will be – you thought football was going to be difficult. This will be really, really hard for basketball with the travel they have. They're going to try to keep people in close quarters, and it's not as many people traveling, but still, everything that they touch, every move that they make is going to be difficult for basketball because they're right in the middle. December, January, February, lots of travel, lots of moving parts for a basketball team. But cross your fingers, and they are moving right on, just like football did, just like baseball. Everybody's continuing to go.
plow through. You know, I mean, college football is dealing with it. You know, one thing I didn't mention in the headlines, Wisconsin and the Badgers in the Big Ten have had to cancel another game. They're now eliminated from contention in the Big 12.
Yes.
They were somewhat eliminated by the loss to Northwestern on Saturday.
Northwestern eliminated them.
With Ohio State sitting at number 4 in the college football playoff rankings, that has to be their biggest concern right now, right? They got through Indiana. Their schedule is relatively, there's not another huge challenge on their schedule. It doesn't appear until they would play Northwestern in a Big Ten championship game on December 19th. College football playoff rank is supposed to, they're scheduled to announce the Final Four on December the 20th, which is a Sunday. December 19th is championship Saturday. That would be the Big 12 championship game if the Longhorns could get there. Obviously, Friday will, go in large measure to determine if the Horns can get there on their current 3-game winning streak. But that'll be December 19th. The college football playoff Final Four announced December 20th. At least that's the schedule for now. And so if you're looking at Ohio State at number 4, they've only played 4 games. They've got to get at least 6 in, maybe 7, hopefully.
I'm thinking 7.
And then, of course, Northwestern. What you're hoping for is that all the teams you're supposed to play can stay healthy.
And
healthy
undefeated.
Enough to play. And you can meet Northwestern. Because right now the committee, the only, I think, piece of news from last night is that the committee ranked Clemson higher than Ohio State, even though Clemson has a loss to Notre Dame, essentially saying that Clemson's body of work with 8 games played is greater than the 4 games played by Ohio State, even with a loss for Clemson. They have them there. But
I think they were essentially saying to teams like Cincinnati and maybe even the Pac-12 and to the Big 12, guys, your one-loss teams aren't making it. And Cincinnati and all those big dreamers like BYU, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen.
I think there is an avenue for Cincinnati, but it's a long shot. Well, it's a lot has to happen for them. They need things to fall their way.
And a lot happens during college football
right.
in the course of these weeks.
Well, we always talk about the college football playoff rankings. When they come out week to week, I don't know if there's a lot to talk about.
Not in week one or two.
It's, I always talk about this. My wife loves these fixer-upper shows, right?
Right.
Where they come in and they're fixing up a house. And it's got to take an hour, right? You got to see the before and after, but it takes an hour to get to the end. And you know what it's going to look like at the end. It's going to be beautiful, and Chip and JoJo have done a phenomenal job. But in between, they've got to build in drama, right? The water pipe bust, there's foundation problems, the backsplash didn't get ordered in time, or whatever the hell the drama is to make it an hour
long. It's over budgeted.
Yeah, it's over budget. Everyone's freaking out. You got to have that one at the hour of compelling drama before you get to the big reveal in the last 5 minutes of the show. But whenever you get to the last 5 minutes, you always know, okay, nah, that's beautiful. Looks great. Everybody's crying.
Sure.
Beautiful job.
I never had a house like this before. I never thought it'd be this beautiful.
Chip and JoJo blew it away, right? I mean, but you got to build the drama in.
By the way, here's the bill.
Yeah, well, they never tell you about the bill. That's never built in there in most of those programs that she watches. But so then, this is kind of what goes on week to week with the college football playoff. There's drama and who's here and who's ranked. And usually by the end on December the 20th, we kind of know who the best 4 teams are because they knock each other off. And Clemson will play Notre Dame again. But here's the avenue now, right? I mean, Alabama is almost a guaranteed in, right? They play Auburn this weekend in the Iron Bowl, likely to win that game. Heck, they could get if Alabama wins out in the regular season and plays Florida in the championship game.
And loses, they're still in.
If they lose, they're still probably
in.
And Florida would play their way in then.
Yeah, just like the SEC wants. They're going to get 2 teams like they always do.
Right. There's a good chance at this
point. Well, there's a good chance. If Florida loses, say goodbye to them.
Yeah. Right, so Florida, but if Florida beats Alabama.
Right.
Then Florida and Alabama would be in. Alabama would just drop from the 1 seed to the 4 seed. And
yes.
The winner of Clemson-Notre Dame gets in. I mean, there's a thought that, based on these rankings, that even if Clemson turns around and beats Notre Dame.
You mean the 4 will stay the same?
That Notre Dame could still get in with 1 loss if it's to Clemson in the ACC championship game. That's going to be...
The scores are going to matter, and the beauty contest is going to matter. That's where it comes in for Cincinnati.
Remember, Notre Dame plays Friday after Thanksgiving against North Carolina at Mac Brown in the Fighting Tar Heels.
They can score points.
That'll be out. And North Carolina has that great offense, and Mac Brown's pretty good at getting teams up for a big game like that. They've had a week off to prepare for it, but Brian Kelly's team very solid. We know that. So, Alabama's in a good place. Florida's in a good place, right? Even though they lost A&M back early in the season, if they went out, if they were to beat Alabama in some kind of shootout in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, they have to beat them.
Lost in their own. No doubt. They'd go play in the New Year's One Bowl, no doubt. But Alabama good, and then there's Ohio State. And if they went out and were to beat Northwestern, I think Northwestern could play their way in. If they end up beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, there's going to be an argument for Northwestern based on the Wisconsin win and playing Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. So those the power schools are going to be in. And so if you're sitting there down in Aggieland and you're a Texas A&M fan, you know, Texas and Texas A&M haven't played a game since November 7th. They've both been out for 3 weeks at this point. A&M will play Saturday against LSU, finally. They're a two-touchdown favorite. A&M's got to win out. What A&M needs to root for is for Alabama to win out and roll past Florida in the SEC championship game.
Yes.
And then have Ohio State win. They would almost root for Notre Dame to go ahead and beat Clemson again.
Yeah,
and went out, and then that, and then Clemson has two losses, and then so then you're looking at Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame as obvious top three,
right?
However you see them, and then that would slide A&M in at number four potentially.
No, they're right. They're in a good place
if they went out and are strong winning out, because we know A&M cannot play in the SEC championship game unless Alabama loses two games in the SEC West, which is not likely to happen. So A&M needs chalk. They need the teams that are ahead of them to keep winning. And that will, back to the...
Because they'd love to see that. They want the showdown between Florida and Alabama.
And they want Alabama to roll that game.
That's right.
Right? It doesn't matter.
They can win by a field goal. Florida's done if they lose two games.
Correct.
They'd
like to see Ohio State win out and Notre Dame beat Clemson.
Right.
Because what A&M does not want is Clemson to beat Notre Dame in some classic ACC championship game thriller that all of a sudden the committee
Notre
says...
Notre Dame stay.
Yeah. Because then you're comparing one-loss teams, and Notre Dame would be a one-loss team. A&M would be a one-loss team. And A&M's one loss would be to Alabama. Notre Dame's one loss would be to Clemson, who they already had beaten once earlier this year when Trevor Lawrence was out with COVID. So I don't know how they would split those hairs. I don't know how they would add that up. But A&M is at least in the conversation. And we started this conversation with the Cincinnati debate. You know, Cincinnati gets in. If A&M loses a game, like,
would've, should've, could've. I mean, if Notre Dame loses to Clemson and says, well, we beat them the first time, that committee may look at it and say, yeah, well, Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing. You were in a dogfight with a freshman quarterback, and Trevor Lawrence played, and you got beat by two touchdowns. A&M, you need to go ahead and slide in there. How about that?
Might. And it does depend. Look, A&M still has four games to play, right? I mean, they still have to play LSU, Ole Miss, the three or four. I mean, they've only played six to this point. They got to get to 10. I mean, can they get to that many becomes the question. I'll look at A&M's schedule, but
yeah, they'll be LSU's not very good. We know that right now, and A&M is on a roll. But man, sitting out, I don't know if it's bad. I understand it for Tom Bull Herman. He does pretty well when they're not playing games. He has more time. I don't know about Jimbo Fisher. I mean, I just don't know. But you can take that kind of offense that they have and sit out a month, and you're going to turn around and hand it off with that offensive line and get yourself some momentum going. Them not playing E is not a bigger deal for me as it is for Texas not getting on the field and possibly, you know, playing Kansas, getting a game like that. And this LSU game is not going to be like Texas playing Kansas. It's still going to be competitive.
LSU has great athletes, we know that. And last time they played down at College Station, it was a 7 overtime marathon thriller.
No, see, that's not what A&M needs.
No.
They need to pound.
Well, look, we could go all morning debating who it hurts or benefits 3 weeks off. 3 weeks off is 3 weeks off. I think it helps Texas in that they do have an extra week to prepare for their biggest game. A&M, you know, if you saw them, their last game, they just throttled South Carolina.
They were on a roll.
And looked great doing it. And it was almost like, we don't want to quit playing. We're peaking at this point. And you wonder if that slowed some momentum.
They've got to play Tennessee and Auburn.
Yeah, Tennessee. They've got Auburn left. And they still have to remake the Ole Miss game. Make up the Ole Miss game. So they've got three more games to play at Texas A&M. So they play LSU, Tennessee, Auburn, and that Ole Miss game got postponed. Mm-hmm. A&M postponed two games. There's two games left on their schedule, and they have two games that were postponed. There's a chance because of the way the calendar falls, they'll just cancel one of those games, and they'll end up one short. But that's going to be an SEC decision.
I think the game with Notre Dame and let's just wait for Notre Dame in North Carolina. That's going to be, I think, a
Friday.
Shootout this weekend. But if Notre Dame plays Clemson again and Clemson, you know, just hands their hat to them by, you know, 17 to 21 points and Trevor Lawrence is playing, that committee is going to look at it and say, you know what, if this guy would have been playing the first time, this thing would have never got to overtime probably.
Right.
I mean, that's going to be part of it, right? That's part of the beauty contest.
Yeah, but that, back to the fixer-upper show, that usually plays its way out, right?
Correct.
By the end of it, there's usually not a lot of drama. I mean,
no.
You go back to, what was it, 2013 or 14 with the Baylor TCU debate out of the Big 12.
That must have been a mess because we still talk about that.
Right. That was maybe the biggest drama we've seen. Typically, though, it plays out. There's not a lot of controversy. You know, everybody likes the house at the end, and everybody's happy. We go week to week, and everybody gets mad and fired up and yells and drama and whatnot. But right now, those are kind of your scenarios. And there is a scenario for A&M, a strong one even, you would argue. But here's A&M's deal. And this is what we talked about in real time, and you know, even Aggie fans were questioning it, because they play LSU this week, then they play Auburn on December the 5th, then they play Tennessee. That game's already been rescheduled for December the 12th. If they get to the final weekend and A&M is still undefeated,
yes,
there is a strong chance that the SEC is going to allow them and make them play that game with Ole Miss that was postponed on December the 19th while the SEC championship game is happening. The SEC title game would be in the late afternoon. I would imagine the SEC would, because they would want A&M to play that game and post another victory.
Correct.
On the day before the Final Four is announced, I would think, right? I mean, just to get that data point, to play that game, to be as strong a resume as possible. There's also the risk
They would want them to play, but I'm A&M. I don't want to play it.
But if the conference says, no, we got a slot for you, we need you to play. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're A&M, you'd want to play it because you want to make your best case, don't you? When you're playing Ole Miss, you're going to name them. Play any defense.
By the way, yes. If you beat the other two teams, yeah, go ahead and play Ole Miss. You need that
win.
I mean,
I would think, because again, if it's going to come down to what we talked about, you know, Ohio State, because we'll know when we get to December, the week of December 19th, if Ohio State's undefeated and looking strong. Yeah, Northwestern's there. You know, Clemson's playing Notre Dame in the ACC championship game. Alabama's playing Florida in the SEC title game. If you're A&M, you want to be the strongest one-loss team you can be at that point, if you're still undefeated
So you're not worried about anybody in the Pac-12 if Oregon goes?
No.
If they win seven games, if they play
Cincinnati would be ahead of them. And I think that was revealed last night with Cincinnati being at seven.
Because of the number of games they're playing, or just the strength.
And the strength of the AAC conference,
yeah,
American Athletic Conference, and Cincinnati's dominance within that, you know, very, very competitive conference. The win over UCF was a big one last Saturday. But, I mean, I would think if you're A&M and you're the SEC, you would want that game. I know it would be weird, but remember, the Big Ten's going to play a Big Ten championship game, and then they're scheduled to have seven other games on that day.
Yeah, that's right.
Just to get another game in, where the first-place teams would play in the championship, but then the second-place teams would play third place from each division all the way down. So it wouldn't be out of the question to see A&M actually playing and finishing out their regular
season Saturday
on that day against Ole Miss. And TV will take it. TV will put the game on.
Of course they will.
Of course. And so the Aggies could make that game up to get to their full schedule. So because if Notre Dame were to lose to Clemson in the championship game, now A&M is arguing with Notre Dame as who's the best one-loss team. And so if you're A&M, you want as many strong performances as you can argue for out of the SEC.
And Notre Dame better, if that's the case, Notre Dame better hang in that game and not get blown out.
That's right.
By Clemson.
Because Notre Dame's argument's going to be, hey, look, we're one-loss team. We beat the team we lost to. And then A&M's argument's going to be, look, we ran our table, we beat Florida, and our only loss was to Alabama.
The number one team in the nation.
The number one team in the nation.
Right.
And then I don't know how you split those hairs. I don't know how the committee.
Well, you split those hairs, and just as Trevor Lawrence will be the splitting of the hairs. If you get beat bad, if you get beat by, I don't know, say 14 points Notre Dame, the committee's going to look at it and say, dude, if Trevor Lawrence was playing, there would not have been an overtime. That's how they're going to look at it to Notre Dame, I would think.
Right.
Although they love them some
right.
Notre Dame.
I mean, A&M's got a loss, right? They lost to Alabama. But you want to become the best one-loss team, period.
Yes. So you do need that extra game, yes.
I would. There's a chance you lose it, but then you play your way out, right? You got to decide that on the field.
Right.
I think it would hurt A&M not to be playing that Saturday.
I agree now. Yes, you got to play that game.
Because then if Notre Dame wins, guess what? If Notre Dame wins and beats Clemson again,
well,
then Clemson's out.
Yes.
And there's a spot for A&M. Sitting there.
You mean the Aggies in a Final Four? Get out of town. Is that possible?
I just laid out the scenario. It's very possible.
Come on. They're not going to claim a championship.
Come on, Chip and JoJo. I can build you that open concept. If you want the open concept, we can take out that wall.
Zay, they're not going to claim a championship if they make it to the Final Four. They're not raising Final Four banners, are they? Down in College Station, if they make it to the Final Four?
Yeah, of course.
They didn't even play in a conference championship.
That's true.
They're not even conference champs.
But like the the Fixer Upper shows. There's a long way between here and there.
Yes, there
lot
is.
A lot to get done. A lot of football to
and
be
a lot
played.
It can happen, yes.
It'll change Tuesday by Tuesday. There'll be upsets aplenty, and we still have COVID that everyone is battling.
That's true.
So
that's still hanging around.
Interesting conversation. All right, so there you go. There is the college football playoff rankings. We've got the Cowboys playing Washington tomorrow. We'll get into the impact of the issue with their strength and conditioning coach yesterday. Does it hurt the Cowboys to not have a practice yesterday? I mean, that certainly was an emotional scene for the Cowboys yesterday up in at the Star Complex. We'll get details. We'll talk and hear from Sam Ehlinger this morning, playing his final home game for the Texas Longhorns. We'll debate and discuss his legacy at Texas and how he's lifted the program. A lot to do. It's a busy Wednesday. It'll feel like a Friday. Big conversations, B&E with you on the Show of the People. Thankful for you every day, and certainly on this day ahead of Thanksgiving Day on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I woke up to the morning sky first.
B&E on a Wednesday. That's it's going to be a busy one. It's going to feel like a Friday. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll make picks. We've got to preview Texas basketball. We've got 4 days of sports to preview on this Wednesday that'll feel like a Friday. Thankful for you. Thankful for that. How about the Black Pumas yesterday, Buck? The Grammy nominations were announced for 2021. And the Black Pumas are nominated for Album of the Year and Record of the Year. Now, remember, they were a nominee last year for Best New Artist for this album. But they put out a second phase to this album. It was called their Deluxe Album, and they added some new songs, including a pretty incredible cover of the... They did several... So the Black Pumas put out a Deluxe Edition. And that was re-entered for this year, and it's been nominated for Best Album and Best Record. So congratulations to Austin's own Black Pumas. I mean, they're up there with Beyonce and all the big names for the Grammys, which will come up early next year. Congratulations to those guys. That's pretty awesome. Surprised a lot of folks, because the album, their debut album, was nominated last year for Best New Artist, as Best New Artist.
They didn't win because there was a bunch of new artists.
Oh, man, it was crazy. I mean, it was probably the toughest category in there for the Grammys.
Yeah, it was last year.
But now they've doubled back. And they reissued a new album called the Deluxe Edition and added like five or six new songs. And now that's been nominated for Record of the Year and Album of the Year. So props to those guys. That's pretty awesome and a great album that it is. But Beyonce was the big most nominated artist I saw yesterday, where she had 9 nominations. Yeah, Zay's like, what'd she do? What did she do?
She sang and sounded the way she always does.
Beyonce
sounds the same.
Beyonce's nominated for a bunch of stuff, and so that'll be coming up in the early part of next year. But the nomination's out yesterday. Also yesterday, scary scene in Dallas, Buck, with the Dallas Cowboys. This was a strange situation, to say the least, where the Cowboys are going about their business 7:30 yesterday morning, and their strength and conditioning coach... Miles Paul suffered what the team described as a serious medical emergency. He had to be rushed to the hospital. No further details. And there were original reports that he had died.
Those things always sound like a stroke to me, or a heart attack.
Or a seizure of some kind. Yeah. I mean, a heart attack, who knows? I mean, but obviously it was serious. And again, the original reports in the Metroplex were that he had passed away. Like, there were a couple of tweets, you know, saddened to report that the Cowboys has passed away.
How do those things get out like that?
I know. And now the Cowboys doubled back really quickly, and the family saying, no, he's battling, and he's at the hospital. He is not deceased at this point. But that's the level of emotion that was going on for the Cowboys yesterday. And Mike McCarthy immediately canceled practice and sent everybody home, essentially, because, you see something like that.
You're not ready to practice, no.
No. I mean, it's hard to focus on much of anything else at that point. You're just concerned about your coach there, who's just gone to the hospital. And it's all, maybe for a lot of folks, felt like, because how did that report get out? Someone probably said, yeah, it didn't look, I don't think he made it. I mean, that kind of stuff gets out, and then the word, breaks through. Marcus Paul is his name. I apologize. I said Miles Paul. Marcus Paul. And he's been there since 2018, and he's a strength and conditioning coach. This guy's in good shape, right? I mean, this is your guy in charge of.
Sure, you're around him more than you're around the coaches.
Yes, I mean, this is a very close person to the players, for sure. So we'll cross our fingers for him, for sure, and hope everything's okay. But obviously that's not ideal when a person's life much more important, but you're trying to prep for a game on a short week anyhow with the Washington football team, who already has beaten you once this year. So we'll see how that impacts the Cowboys tomorrow, if at all.
It's going to impact them individually for sure, but once again, now there is another rallying cry, busting watermelons with sledgehammers.
Yeah,
you got a strength and conditioning coach that's in the hospital. It's sad, but it all works in the favor for the Dallas Cowboys, I believe, tomorrow, which I already had beating this group up on Thanksgiving.
Well, it probably helps when we talk about a short week that they know Washington very well. They've already played Washington once this year.
Correct.
They know what the game plan essentially is. This isn't some, sometimes they play this game, it'll be a team from the AFC.
And they kind of know where Alex Smith is going to be in the pocket right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team you're very familiar with the personnel. You play them twice a year. Both teams with new head coaches, though, with Mike McCarthy and Ron Rivera. But yes, you've already game planned and played this team one time. Sometimes on this Turkey Day game, the Cowboys have played Miami or somebody, right? Buffalo,
right.
Somebody from the AFC you don't know very well. That could have more of an impact than this, Washington team that you're a division rival of. And golly, Buck, it's an important game. It's an important game. Both teams are the winners, a four-win team. They'd be the first team in the division to four wins in this crazy 2020. The division right now has 12 total victories. Total. And this begins week 12.
You're in a division where you can win it, go to the playoffs, and it's bad for you because you're going to lose that first game.
Say that out loud again, because that just surprised me. This is week 12 of the NFL, which starts tomorrow. The entire division of the NFC East has combined for 12 wins going into week 12. Marinate on that for a second. That is, we talk about historically terrible divisions. That is terrible.
And I think the Eagles are still up by a half game with a tie.
They are, with that tie over Cincinnati. Tie with Cincinnati.
And they look like the worst of the four teams.
Yeah, all three. Look at the standings. All three teams are three win, all the way down, four teams. And then they're all seven losses, 3-7, 3-7. But the difference is the Eagles are 3-6-1.
And they look like the worst team in the division right now.
Just wretched. And the Carson Wentz situation for Philadelphia is worsening. They played a game against Cleveland last Sunday in a rainstorm that if Carson Wentz just takes care of the football, they probably win the game. And this is why people in Philadelphia are furious with Carson Wentz, and they want Doug Peterson.
It wasn't because of Baker touchdown maker?
No, he threw a pick six. He took a safety in the end zone.
Carson Wentz is bad right now. I don't know what's going on with that dude.
All he had to do was protect the ball, and they have a good chance, because their defense was dominating Baker and company. It was a terrible weather day. The wind were up. The rain was falling. It was hard but the difference in the game was that Baker and the Browns really, they didn't turn the football over. Now they did, actually. There was a fumble early in the second half that led to an Eagles touchdown, which was on a short field, but
yeah.
Wentz was just, he's a turnover machine.
And speaking of weather, is this thing going to change for us here Friday, or are we getting the 70% that I keep seeing? And it's not like it sounds like it's drizzle. It sounds like it's rain.
Right now, 60% chance of rain on Friday. 80% on Saturday, looking like a
And generally
good,
you get it in the morning, too, and that's
Texas
11
o'clock on Friday. And it could be a messy game. Messy game for Texas. For sure, and it certainly was last week. So, yeah, Cowboys tomorrow, 3 o'clock. You'll hear that game here on the horn. The Texans play the early game with Detroit. Both Texans and Cowboys coming off wins. And then I'm not sure how the NFL is going to play this game on Sunday, on Thursday night, Buck. The game's tomorrow night. It's Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And,
You may look for a cancellation in that deal.
Well, the NFL doesn't want to do it. It's their primetime game. It's Thanksgiving. It's going to get monster ratings.
There's too many players, the Ravens.
But, and players are still testing positive by the day. Can you really put that team on the football field? Even if they have enough healthy players to play, the protocols would indicate that no.
It hasn't affected anybody that's played against each other on the field.
We haven't seen that.
So Pittsburgh is thinking, I don't know, do we want to play these dudes? Do we want to be the first that it happens to? I'm probably thinking not, because they got a lot of guys that are coming up positive, as you said, day by day, and every day something else is going to happen. I don't know if they can field the team by Sunday. By tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. And at last
NFL
check.
NFL wants to do it, though. They're looking at them and saying, hey, sorry.
We're not canceling that game. That's
going
to get gangbuster ratings.
Yes, it is.
Money over protocols.
Yes.
And, Pittsburgh Steelers, because if they win that game, they're then 11-0, and they'd have a huge win over Baltimore. But that's where that game sits. But so this will be obviously the most difficult decision the NFL has been forced to work around at this point. They have not had to cancel a game. Pittsburgh already had a game moved. They've already used their bye week. Remember, they had that game with Tennessee earlier this year moved because of issues with the Titans. And so when they played Tennessee earlier this year, that game had already been pushed back into both teams' bye weeks as they shuffled the schedule. This one would put them in a spot that they've got to try to figure out. Now, technically, because it's a Thursday night game, they could move it to Sunday or Monday.
Move it to Sunday.
But then you don't have an NFL game on Thanksgiving night, which this would have to be the case. I mean, that, because at that point, if you're the NFL, you could argue we're getting our hands around this. We're letting the Ravens deal with their issue. It's just happening. Because if they have more positive tests this morning, I mean, every morning they've had, because on Monday it was J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, the running backs, plus one other member of the staff. There were four total, but two players. Then yesterday the number became 10 total, so six more.
Yeah, you add two more, they're going to say.
You add a couple more today.
Right.
The league's going to have to say, yeah, we, and the Ravens are going to be saying, hey, listen, we can't play this game. And the Steelers are going to say, yeah, we probably don't want to play them. We just had a game last week.
Well, yeah, we want to play them. Know how many people.
We just had a game last week where Florida State canceled their game with Clemson because of one positive test to an offensive lineman,
a
reserve offensive lineman on game day. And the Florida State Seminoles medical folks said, no, we're not going to allow them to play that game. You got to think the NFL is in a similar boat, but we'll see if that game is played or not. But again, the league could say, hey, let's push that back to Sunday, let the Ravens get a hold of this thing. We still get the game in. We just don't have a TV game Thursday night, which could happen. So keep an eye on that. That will also affect your fantasy football team, because that's what matters, Buck.
Well, of course, that's what matters. So it matters to all of you people.
I've got Big Ben, I've got Chase Claypool, I've got Lamar Jackson.
You people that play those games.
I need those games, man. Mm-hmm. We need those games to be played. But yeah, that's where it stands with football, Turkey Day, and the NFL. We'll also run down the rest of the Friday schedule. We know Texas plays Iowa State in a huge game. We'll hear from Sam Ellinger coming up in our coach's corner. Sam Ellinger playing what will be his final game at DKR, a youngster who we know grew up going there to games with his parents and a lifetime Longhorn, if there ever was one, will play what should be his final home game.
Well, maybe his final home game there in Burnt Orange. Who knows? Who knows what he's thinking? Who knows? Likeness and Image comes out next year. Would you like to put a couple $1 million in your pocket before you go off?
But, you know, he has accepted a bid to the Senior Bowl. But what does the Senior Bowl even look like in January?
I don't even know if you're going to have a Senior Bowl.
Can you even gather with 100 players and scouts and coaches in Mobile, Alabama? I don't.
Touching and feeling and measuring? No. Probably not.
Vaccine's coming, but not that soon.
You know what? If I could hang around Austin and get some Likeness and Image money after the vaccine is over and stick around college, maybe I'd just do that kind of thing, you know?
I was thinking about that with Senior Day for these graduate transfers. They got three graduate transfers on the list, Tariq Black, Brendan Schooler. I'm like, well, they just had their Senior Day last year where they were.
Right.
Like, Schooler came from Oregon. Tariq Black was in Michigan. I mean, are they going to get to do another Senior Day? They were just here for like 3 months. But all right, let them run out there, get
a
flower.
That's true. Get a rose.
Get a rose. Kiss your mom.
That's it.
The whole bit. But yeah, that's always an emotional day, and certainly will be for Sam and the starters, Derek Kerstetter. And, you know, they ought to go ahead and just honor Sam Cosmi, the left tackle, because he's probably going to be playing.
He's
off to the National Football League as well. But he's a redshirt junior, but was a part of that original Tom Herman recruiting class that featured Sam Ellinger and all these guys. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we will pick up these conversations and get you ready for the big sports weekend, which begins tomorrow. Also, college football playoff rankings are out. We'll reset that. But, Buck, right now it's time for a Craig Way report.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere.
BNA with you Wednesday. Thankful for you. Thankful that you're here. And I hope you can stick with us all day long and every morning here on BNA. Yeah, that is the cover I was thinking of. That's Black Plume's cover of the great Tracy Chapman classic Fast Car that they did on this Grammy nominated now album.
All of her albums. Tracy Chapman, when she was going, I liked everything that she did.
Well, this is a great song.
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job of covering it, obviously, as you can hear. So, Grammy nominations were out yesterday. We mentioned we'll play some of the selections. Beyonce. How about Renee Zellweger? Renee Zellweger was nominated for a Grammy yesterday. Former UT Longhorn.
Sure.
Hookem used to work at Sugars.
Yeah.
Back in the day. She's just making her way through college.
Most do.
She was a waitress, though, at Sugars, Renee.
Oh,
word on the street.
Yeah, that's right. She was a waitress. Serve drinks, that's right.
But she was nominated in the Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album category for Judy. That's the soundtrack to the Judy Garland movie.
Which I have not seen.
Not either, but apparently she does a very good job. And she sings her own Judy Garland in there.
Sam Smith is also part of that deal, I think, too.
Yes, yeah. So pretty cool. We'll have some fun with that throughout the morning as we get you into your Thanksgiving holiday, which this may be. We got your B&E factor today. By the way, this is one of the better B&E facts of the day we've had in a while. This is good. Get your thinking cap on. Got your headlines. We're previewing Texas-Iowa State. But But is this the most accurate Thanksgiving food ranking ever? How about this? We always talk about Thanksgiving foods.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually did a kind of a head-to-head bracket to rank the foods. A new study polled 1,300 Americans on 42 different foods. But instead of asking for their favorite, they did a series of one-on-one matchups. So it whittled it down, kind of like a Final Four, right?
Sure.
And in the end, the number one food still standing was, of course, turkey. Turkey, number one.
And always will be.
Won 83% of its matchups.
Sure.
I saw where the president yesterday had those turkeys in, had to pardon one of them, that old tradition at the White House. And the turkeys' names were Corn and Cobb.
Very nice.
Corn and Cobb.
Love that.
But turkey, 83% of its matchups won. Followed by, without looking, can you guess what the number two food all time was?
Stuffing?
Close. Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I was going to put mashed potatoes as third, but that's fine.
It's probably the way you do your plate when you make that first serving run. Turkey one, mashed potatoes two, stuffing or dressing three, followed by bread or rolls four. Bread and rolls won 74%
of its matchups.
I'd
like to see your green bean casserole way down there at the bottom where it belongs.
Ham five.
There you go.
Scallop potatoes six.
Scallops potatoes.
But if you do really good scallop potatoes,
on them?
Oh, yeah. They can sometimes be better than mashed potatoes.
Nothing can be better than mashed potatoes.
True.
Nothing.
Right. That was a shame.
Brown gravy. No.
Gravy. Green beans, nine. Macaroni and cheese, 10. I don't think we've ever had macaroni and cheese for Thanksgiving. But some people do, clearly.
Yeah. Is that? That may be a black thing. That may be a black thing there.
Isaiah Collier laughing.
Come up here on a day before Thanksgiving. That macaroni and cheese may be a black thing. Because I've had a white cook, so it's just never come up at my house and ask my players. They're like, mac and cheese.
Well, that was Zay's determination yesterday when we found the revelation that, actually he admitted the revelation, revealed that Patrick Mahomes said that he puts ketchup on his turkey. Like, he slathers ketchup on everything, including his steak.
Absolutely gross.
Yeah, to which Isaiah pointed out accurately that his mom must not cook very well. Because you would not, if things are cooked properly, you don't need ketchup on it.
He's what they used to call, before we got PC, a mixer. So that's a good possibility on that side. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Haven't used the M word in a while, have you?
Yeah, no, we haven't used the M.
Mulatto.
Yeah, we haven't. Because we're always worried. We're never really worried here, but we do try to pretend.
That's the definition of a word.
Yeah, we try to pretend.
Don't say it anymore.
Yeah,
come on, don't be afraid of words.
No, we try to pretend. Like
my family, it says here, does broccoli, cheese, and rice. I do like me some broccoli because, you know, you got to have some veggies on there. I know people think that's crazy, but
no, you got to have veggies.
Your typical plate is like some meat, which is
green
turkey,
beans.
And then as many carbs as you can jam onto a plate. You know, mashed potatoes and stuffings and breads and noodles.
Do we get any breads in there? Do we get cornbread or rolls?
Bread and rolls was four.
Okay.
But you got to mix it in some color. You can't just have all the carbs, man. Give me some corn. Give me some green beans. That's it. If you make that green bean casserole, now we're talking.
Get that green bean casserole out of here, period.
What do you mean?
How did that ever get in there? That may be a white thing, the green bean casserole.
Well, there's white things and black things.
Yeah, there are.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt about that. At Thanksgiving, there certainly is.
Have to be.
There's Johnny Walker Black at the table, and there's Manischewitz. Yes, there's some differences at...
Could I get the B&E fact of the day out there to you?
Before we get in trouble,
B&E fact of the day, yes. Brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
100 years ago today, 100 years ago today, Buck, 1920, November 25th, the first ever play-by-play description of a football game was heard on a radio station. You know what game it was? And maybe what radio station? Wasn't this one.
Okay.
100 years ago today, 1920, November 25th, the first ever play-by-play description of a football game aired. Do you know the game? That'll be your fact of the day next.